Facebook and Twitter are just many of the social networking websites available to us today. By typing a few words, we can tell the world what we're doing, and by uploading some photos, we can give our followers proof of what we're doing. But another type of networking site is emerging as a way to communicate more profoundly with your online community. Audio blogging.
Come on then, we're going to watch you. Yeah! Now, for those of you that don't know, it's okay, darling. Alice is 18 months. Are you on a cuddle? Good girl. And she's got a bit of
They don't sound like this when you play them in real life, by the way. That's okay, it means this, you can't be ripped. So come and join them properly. So, in fact, I'm doing myself a favour by watermarking them in this fashion.
Blimey, goes all the way out. This is, we're out of the park now. We've finished in the Olympic Park. Been there, done it. Not quite bought the T-shirt, but bought...
Sites like SoundCloud and Audioboo allow you to keep in contact with friends and followers by speaking to them. It seems we might just be getting back in touch with the art of conversation. So with the amount of visually impaired audio bloggers on the increase, I thought I'd find out just what people are blogging about.
I blog about all sorts, really. Anything that's to do with my world, be that my opinion on something or something I find interesting or a concept or a way of looking at something. So it might be philosophical. It's just my thoughts, really, on life and the bits of life that I get involved in.
Let me introduce Paul Hopkins from Birmingham, who's registered blind. He's been blogging and podcasting for many years and, by all accounts, is a dab hand at getting his views out there. So what's wrong with the good old-fashioned written word? What is it about audio that Paul finds so appealing?
I think it's the simplicity of it, to be honest. Back in the day, when we were podcasting, those of us that were doing that, it was revolutionary in itself in that what you blogged got pushed to people that were subscribed to your particular podcast. But it was still that you had to have some way of recording what you were doing, and then you had to put it up onto a computer somehow, connect to your computer, you know, and then upload it. Whereas the concept behind a service like Audioboo is that you can do it straight from your iPhone. So obviously, you know, we know that iPhones are universally accessible now, particularly for those of us that are registered blind. The idea is here that you just record straight through the Audioboo app and then upload what you've recorded with a title and a photo if you wish and a description. So it's got much, much easier to record what you're doing. So it's almost instantaneous.
Okay. And when you started recording these podcasts and using Audioboo, we should say there are other sites available. But when you started doing this, were you aware or were you thinking in terms of accessibility of how it would be received?
That's a really interesting question. When I first started doing it, as with my podcasts, I never expected that the people with a visual impairment would be my only audience, because I never did podcasts for that reason, and I never really did audiobooing for that reason. What I quickly discovered with Audioboo was that actually the although there is a large VI community on Audioboo, we're by no means the biggest factor. There's about 3 million people on it. And you are right, there are things like SoundCloud as well, so there are other things. But I found that it introduces you to people in a way that you could never have thought that you would be introduced. So people are choosing to listen to my audio, not because I'm visually impaired, but because I might have something interesting to say that they want to relate to.
Yeah.
Or that I've titled something in a certain way. So if I, for example, talked about, you know, my walking in the snow and just mentioned some of the difficulties you might have as a visually impaired person using a cane, people find that really interesting and they like to hear the sounds, and it gets to be more of a holistic impression of you as a person rather than just your visual impairment.
I think when the snow gets like this, it's almost like a similar consistency to sand on a beach. I mean, it must look a bit like that, you know, when the tyres have gone over and over and over and it's gone kind of slushy, but that semi-hard slush, what you would call it. But
things that I didn't expect people to find interesting are things like me and a couple of friends round a keyboard singing Christmas songs and forgetting the words, and it's amazing how many people find that interesting. Another one was two blind blokes in a supermarket or something like that, and it was basically how my friend and I were walking around the supermarket where most people would ask for help, and you know, or a lot of people might ask for help. We just were sort of tanking around there, finding our own way and finding what we wanted, and my friend's very good at sort of putting something up in the air and saying to someone, "Oh, excuse me, is that the steak and kidney pies?" And they'll be like, "No, that's the Viennetta you want over here." But
wrong section.
And it was just fun, and it's just, it was, and I got a lot of, you know, a lot of interest in that. So you can never predict what it is that people will be interested in. Often they're not necessarily related directly to visual impairment. They're often the crossover sort of subjects where people sort of say, "Well, yeah, okay, he's a VI person, but he's just doing the everyday stuff that I would do with my mate on New Year's Day when there was no one else." In the, you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's just so it's actually quite hard to define why people find the particular thing interesting and what they're going to find interesting.
So whether it's blogging about being a blind mum or the difficulties of walking through the snow with a white cane, it seems there will always be someone who wants to listen to what you have to say. But what do the bloggers get out of it? I asked Paul.
Okay, there's two things. One, it's an archive for me. And I've always thought that, for me, you know, the recording audio is a bit like the VI person's way of taking photos almost, you know, that the audio for me is a snapshot of who I am and what I'm doing at a particular time. And whether that is my opinion on something or whether it's, as I said, me at the back of a massive sort of auditorium as part of my church doing a sound or walking in the snow and finding it difficult to navigate. They're just things that I do anyway as part of my life, so I put them up. So what I'm hoping is, and it's actually not me that's affecting this this change in perspective, it's actually the platform itself. The platform of audio is bringing together people that are interested in sound for sound's sake, really. And then they find an interesting perspective in terms of either what you're saying or who you are as an add-on to that, really. So their first interest in you is more likely to be your sound in many cases and what you're saying rather than your visual impairment. So it happens then that they just become equal to each other and the visual impairment sits appropriately rather than me having to steer what someone thinks of me.
So what do you personally get out of blogging, aside from it being an archive for you, but I guess more on a personal level?
I just enjoy making sound. I enjoy recording. I enjoy having an opinion. And, you know, so often you're talking to yourself, aren't you? You have a view about something and you rub it onto yourself about it. And that's not necessarily very productive. And to have the opportunity of putting something out there and daring actually to put something out there that you, for example, if you've got a view on something and you caught some disagreement and then a debate happens, that's good because it gets you practiced in the art of conversation, particularly, not so much in my case, but particularly if you have a visual impairment and you are more isolated via geography or just the confidence to get out and about and all the various different issues that can hit us as visually impaired people, then this is a great way of sort of getting your voice heard. And you know, you could think that you're the least person in the world, but there will always be something that you've got to say that someone is interested in.
If you'd like to listen to Paul's blogs, you'll find them under the name of VI Podcasting on Audioboo. That's www.audioboo.fm/VI Podcasting. And here on Insight Radio, we're introducing our very own blogger in the form of 23-year-old Sam, who's just moved to London from Aberdeen.
I was not very independent. The travelling up there is awful. And if I wanted to go out late, my dad would have to come pick me up, which isn't very cool for a 22-year-old. Whereas down here in London, you've got tubes appearing every 2 minutes. The staff are brilliant. They tell you what the stop is on the bus. And they just don't have that back where I'm from. And it instilled a huge confidence.
You can hear more of the first instalment of A Little Insight with Sam Little on The Morning Mix at 10 past 10 this morning here on Insight Radio.